Shalom Mishpocha. Shalom family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. The middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. We plain want everyone free and to be normal. And it's about time. What is normal? Read the Word. Read the New Testament. This is from the Emes. This is the truth. Yeshua, that's Hebrew for Jesus, said, you will do the same works that I have done. It gets better, by the way, and even greater. Now, no matter how many apologetics you apply, you cannot get away from the fact that everything about the new covenant is supernatural. And therefore, if you're not normal, get normal. I have a woman on the phone, and her job is to help you get normal. Her name is Kathy Walters. I'm speaking to her by way of telephone, her home in Macon, Georgia. And Kathy went to a nice, wonderful church in England, but there was no power. She read the Bible, and even though it was a wonderful church, it just didn't satisfy. So she backslid, ran to Australia, almost married a guy in the mafia, and supernaturally her life was spared when he pulled a gun out on her. And she came back to England, got married, and bumped into a real, legitimate revival. Tell me, at the best of that revival, what was it like, Kathy?
Well, we didn't have anyone to tell us how to have meetings, you see. So we just had to rely on God. It started off in the houses. People were just coming from everywhere. The thing about it was that God used everybody, and the glory of God was on everybody. When we eventually did move, like, into the town hall, because there were so many people, it was just the same. But the glory of God was on every single person. God used everybody. There wasn't someone at the front. We did have meetings for teaching the young Christians and specific things. But when the family came together, you know, on Sunday morning or Wednesday, when the family came, we never knew what was going to happen. You know, it says, you know, when you come together, every one of you has psalm, hymn, tongue interpretation. It was really like that. And people would move under the anointing, and it was like an incredible orchestra. You never knew what was going to happen, who was going to do what. People in the end, it didn't matter where you sat, because the person next to you would tell you your name. I remember sitting in those meetings sometimes, and you couldn't look up because the light was so bright, and the glory of God just... But see, to me, the key was that it was everybody. God used everybody.
Are we going to see this type of a revival in America? Is God going to give us another chance?
Well, I think that enough people are getting hungry and fed up with the system now that they're determined to find something.
And yet, I read in my notes about you, and when you were talking to my producer, you said that the glory is going to come into churches, but there's little likelihood that they're going to keep the glory for a long period of time. Why?
Well, that's because the people don't get rid of their old mindsets. See, you have to agree with the Spirit, and He's a Spirit of truth. So you can have the glory of God that comes in, and I've seen it many, many, many times. It comes in and God begins to move, but people don't change their old theology and their old mindsets in order to agree with the Holy Spirit.
You know, I have some experience, not to the degree you do, of the more recent revivals that have occurred in the United States. And I was at one revival where the pastor literally told a man that was laughing in the spirit, go out into the lobby area and put a towel in your mouth if you can't control yourself. Shortly thereafter, the revival left.
Yeah. See, because people want God to move, but they don't want Him to take over.
Is the operative word control?
Yes, they're trying to control or make God fit into your box. You can't, you know, God doesn't fit into boxes.
Kathy, you talk about a term I have not heard previously, and it's very, very important for our Mishpocha, the people with a Jewish heart. It's called qualifying spirit. Mm. Explain what you mean by that.
I think that's the biggest religious spirit in the body of Christ, because it's so subtle. I said yesterday, it's not anything that's really taught, but it's implied. So how it works is, if I ask people about salvation, they know they're saved by faith. But when I talk about the spirit realm and the angels and visitations, they feel not qualified because they don't feel spiritual enough. They think it's for that person and that person because they're more spiritual. And they're not a kind of spirit kind of person.
But not only that, in the United States, we're professional spectators. We're not participants in the things of the spirit. We're spectators in churches.
Well, that's because people don't feel qualified. Take yourself or somebody near you right now, and they feel not qualified for the realm of the spirit, the supernatural, the angels. If they don't feel qualified in any way, shape, or form, they're never going to receive all of their inheritance, are they?
So how does someone feel qualified?
Jesus said the truth will make you free. The truth is that Jesus qualified you 100% on the cross, didn't he?
Of course.
He qualified people 100%. So then you have to ask yourself, how then later on can you unqualify from something you never qualified for? It's a simple thing, but if you can break through that spirit, it's a strong spirit, and really get truth in you. I tell people, you can't just listen to truth. You have to get it in you. The truth is that Jesus qualified you 100%, and there's no man and no thing and no organization that can take that away from you.
All right, but what if someone says, yes, but that's not my experience. I've been at these places, and it seems like everyone else gets it, but I don't.
Yeah, well, then it's the truth that sets you free, so you have to embrace truth. That's the truth.
So it doesn't matter experience. It matters truth.
See, because of all my head knowledge, I mean, I had all this theology, all this head knowledge. When we came into the things of the Spirit, we started seeing things and learning healing, miracles, prophecy, heavenly things. I remember saying to the Lord, look, Lord, this is wonderful, but if this is more head knowledge, forget it, because I'm not interested. Because it nearly killed me when I just had head knowledge. So the Lord said, Kathy, the realm of the Spirit, the supernatural realm, the angels, heavenly visitations, that's your inheritance. You just have to believe it. So I decided to.
You have another terminology that I've actually used a lot, but you have a different meaning for it. When I say replacement theology, I mean the heretical view that the church has replaced the Jewish people,
yes.
Israel, etc. But when you say replacement theology, you have a different spin. What is it?
I just mean replacing those old mindsets, like the one I just talked about. That qualifying spirit, there isn't a believer that's not qualified. If you're not qualified, that means Jesus didn't do it good enough or something.
I know, but what happens if you're sitting in the same church for the last 20 years and you're hearing great messages and you're having great worship, but all you do is sit there? How in the world are you ever going to enter in?
Well, this is what I've been telling people. I've been telling them, listen, Jesus deposited his life in you. He deposited his anointing in you, and he's looking for a return because he's the husbandman. So you better get somewhere where they really are drawing out all your anointing and all your calling and all your gifting, because if you don't do that, Jesus is going to say to you, what did you do with the anointing in your life? And you saying my church didn't like it is not going to be an excuse.
You like to teach on who's inside of who we really are, who this new man is.
Yeah.
That's all part of us. Why isn't this part of the foundations when someone just gets saved? Why is this just for the leaders?
That's the Western Church. You know, it's just religious old spirits that have bound everybody up. But every believer has that anointing and calling and gifting. And I think why that first revival was so powerful was because it really was everybody. God used everybody. He used little children, you know, like my husband brings kids into the anointing.
I know. I interviewed him. Is that still going on like it used to?
Oh, yeah. He's having an awesome time.
Tell me one experience that your husband had with a child.
He's had whole roomfuls of children lifted up into heaven.
Oh, my goodness.
For 2 hours. Playing instruments with the angels. You can see them. You can't kind of touch them.
They don't do that at your Sunday school. I think the people ought to go to Kathy's husband's Sunday school. But go ahead.
Okay, where did I get to? So God used everybody. I'll tell you one little story because I love this story. But this was a Sunday morning. There was about 300 or so people, and there was a little boy called Stephen. He was 7. And he suddenly stepped out into the middle, because we had like a middle, and he put his Bible on the floor and he stood on it because he'd read something about standing on the word. So he put his handkerchief on his head. I don't know why he did that. And he began to sing, I don't know if you remember that old chorus, I will bless the Lord at all times.
I'm sure I know that.
Anyway, he sang this 2 lines of this chorus, and a wind came into the building and knocked 300 people off their seats.
Now, that's normal. If you're not having this in your church, you're just plain not normal.
Yeah.
And Kathy wrote 3 books that we're offering. One is called The Visitation, and it's as a result of her experience of going to heaven, and she believes with all of her heart that everyone can have these heavenly visitations. The second book is called Living in the Supernatural, and she has practical instructions and really encouragement to move you into the Spirit, to expect the experience of the supernatural. And then the third book is called The Spirit of False Judgment, perhaps the most important one for you to read, because it tells you how to recognize religious spirits. And that's the problem of what's going on today. These religious spirits love to move where you don't know it's them. But that's what's stopping you from breaking into everything that God has for you. Now, the set of 3 books we're making available for a donation of $20. So I really urge you to call or write today. Call our 800 number, order this set of 3 books, and start being normal. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 315-21, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.